Welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook, and it is episode 457. That's a lot of podcasts. But I'm not here alone. I'm joined by Adam Carroll. Hi, Adam. Are you all right?
I am great, Adam Cook. You're looking very well. I just want to get that out there early.
Yeah, available in a good, one retailer. Also with
us. We'll get to that.
Yeah, Christopher Hyde. How are you, Chris? You all right?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, how are you?
I'm better than you, mate. You appear to be like a rainbow. Well, you're okay now. It's fine. This is the thing.
A rainbow's a good thing, Chris. Don't worry.
Okay.
How are you, mate? You're good.
I've been called worse. I've been called worse than rainbows.
Okay, but you're good. That's important.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. And this week, there's no Chris. Well, there is a Chris. I've just spoken to him. There's no Mick. But we have the man best described, self-described, as King of the Gypsies. It's Mr. Sean Smith. Hello, Sean. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Good.
Blimey. I think, I'm on a video podcast thing. I think, 13-year-old me would be looking at this now and being so proud of, what I've achieved. But probably also, morbidly disappointed and
horrified,
what a fat bastard I've become. apart from that, I'm glad to be here. Let's talk about some games.
Before we do, what's everyone got in their drink this week?
Mine are downstairs in the fridge. I forgot to bring one up, so I might have to shout my son to inappropriately bring me up a lager in a minute.
Yeah. So, okay. There's nothing in this, by the way. At all. It's
nothing at all.
No, there was a coffee in it, but I washed it out and I just thought I'd bring it along for the
Damn fine mug. Yeah. It's a damn fine mug.
Yeah. Christopher Hyde.
Yes.
Video games.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about any of them or?
Yeah, so
they're good.
They are very, very good. So, yeah, this week I've been playing a lot of stuff that I can't talk about, but the one thing that I can talk about, I'm actually very excited to talk about, is the Tales of Arise demo, which is out now, which I know Mr. Adam Carroll has also been playing, so I'm sure we'll have epic bants about this. But, so I think, Adam, you're a fan of the series as well, right? Mr. Carroll, I know you're less so, right? Mr. Cook,
go on.
Okay, I won't have an answer to the question.
No, look, I don't dislike them. I've just never got into them. They're just a series I've always struggled with. Like I appreciate them, I respect them. I've never been able to get into them. This is the one I think will be the one.
Yeah, for me, Chris has spoken a lot of it on some of the previous podcasts. He's previewed it twice and played this demo as well. But for me. I mean, it jumps you straight in. You're like level 25 or something as you jump in to it a bit through the story. You've got six party members with you straight off the bat. You can pick to control any one of these six characters and kind of play through that story. The demo itself isn't very long, but there's plenty on offer to kind of get your teeth into and kind of see what's in the world. I will say, like, straight off the bat, like, got it on PlayStation, and that bit where you can hover over the game before you even start it, and the music that kicks in, Adam Carroll, I don't know if you got that as well, I was just like, I am all in for this. It was just straight, like classic sort of Tales or sort of East soundtrack. It just sounded really good. My wife heard it, and she went, "You're playing a JRPG, aren't you?" I was like, "Yes, that's exactly what I'm playing." So she was like, she's straight on that. So, yeah, it throws you in. There's a lot of, if you've played Tales series games before, there's a lot of stuff that you're probably expecting here that's present. Obviously with the six characters, there's lots of interactions, there's lots of little skits that you can watch where they interact with each other when you're kind of resting at campfires. There's all the familiar items, some of the arts are very similar from previous games as well. But I did want to talk about the combat, because that is, not only is that very fast paced, but that's kind of different as well to some of the other games in the series. So in the demo, like I said, there's six characters, but you're only controlling one of them. What you do is each of them's building up a meter as they're attacking, and you can call in call in when, once their meters are full enough, you can call them in to deal some kind of extra damage. And if you damage enemies enough, you can actually call in like two of them at once to do this awesome sort of super finisher attack as well. And a bit like when you kind of nail some really finishing moves in like DMC or Scarlet Nexus, which we'll talk about in a minute. Some of those things when they just pull off are just in the middle of a fast-paced fight are just really satisfying. And there's a lot going on. I think there's probably more when you unlock the full game that you can kind of customize. There's bits locked out that, you know, I'm already wanting to go, can I just tweak that in my party and my loadout and things like that? And there's areas of menus that are grayed out. I'm like, no, I really want to get into some of those nits and grits. But I mean, the combat, like I say, is very fast paced. There's so much going on. Because there's like six of you.
Right.
There's six of you knocking about, I don't know, three enemies in a kind of like a ring, you know, of combat, a combat area.
It's bananas. It's been bananas.
There's like particle effects. Craziness.
I didn't know what I was doing sometimes. I was like, I seem to be doing things right. Combos are going up, but I can't see shit.
Yeah.
I'm just in color and fire, and it's just all looking great.
I'm just attacking and dodging occasionally. It's very cathartic and it's very quick. So it doesn't get like, you're not like they're going, oh my God, just die already. Like it's very, they're very quick enough, but still, there's still some challenge to them. And there's a couple of challenging fights you can take on in the demo. One sort of part of the story, one optional. So there's definitely something if you want to get your teeth into it rather than just sort of the grunt enemies. So, you know, I felt like, obviously that Adam Carroll talk in a minute, but I sort of felt like it's a really good sort of showcase of what you can expect once you get a bit more into the game. It shows you enough to go, oh yeah, like that. I can see the locales that I'm going to sort of traverse. The game looks beautiful. We talked about that before. Like, I don't think I've ever really thought about a Tales game, wanting a Tales game to look really beautiful, because the overworld's always a bit bland in a Tales game, and the character models are never up to much. It's been more about the story and things like that have been in Tales games. But this is just, it looks amazing. And the worlds that you're moving through, the fields that you're going through to fight the monsters look great as well. And who knows what I obviously only played the demo, so I don't know the broader locales, but it really whetted my appetite, scratched a really familiar itch, and I'm just itching to play more. So I'll hand over to Adam if he feels the same way or not.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think a demo for this type of game is you're kind of going in for one thing really, and it's just to test out the combat, because you can check out what you can pick up some items. You get told about cooking and stuff like that, and all these other bits and bobs. Like you can go and buy stuff off a vendor, but you're not going to do that in the demo. Do you know what I mean? You just want to go around, get a feel for the combat. There is, as you said, Chris, a ton going on here with the characters. Like you can use all these counterattacks by using the D-pad to pick whichever character you want. But not only that, like you have four in your D-pad. And then you hold down, like, I think it's like L1 or L2 to open up the next lot of other characters behind that. And it's kind of a bit like, whoa, this is just kind of like, this is daunting in a way. But then at the same time, of course, it's going to be. I'm getting thrown in at level 25, and you're just taking in the world, the graphics, all that kind of stuff. One thing I will say that I'm kind of just a bit like, still, are we going to do this? Is I know there's a lot going on in the sense of the dialogue and the chats, like, Jesus, you take every five steps, they say you can press R1 and have a little banter back and forth with your crew, and it's done very stylish. They all kind of fade in, these tiles fade in with each other, and it's really stylish. Some of the interactions, though, it just drives me insane that we're still doing this thing where they choose how much audio they're going to use, voice acting.
Got that thing of like you talk to them, they go, hey. Hi.
So it's like the skit bits, the bit you're talking about with R1, that's all fully voiced. But then
that's all fully voiced.
But the interactions with like the story bits where they might meet another character or talk within themselves as part of the story, very much like, hey, no.
But they're the parts that should have the voice acting, no?
Yeah, like, normally it's the other way around in Tales games where like it's all text in the skits and the action's the voice bit, like the story's the voice bit. I don't know if it's just a bad example from the demo, but I did spot that. It's almost like in reverse. You'd probably want the story to be the voiced bit. And the bits you might not listen to, like, don't bother voicing all of those. But
while I've got a bit of stability on my internet, by the way, I've got a bit of a history with Tales as well. Like, obviously, played Tales of Symphonia and go back to all them ones. But do you remember, Adam, that time when I got completely flamed by a load of Uber nerds when I gave that Tales game a shit score?
I was going to say it was pre-Twitter, but it doesn't sound like it was.
What Tales game was it, Sean?
It was For God as a Geek. I can't remember which one it was now. I'd have to look back. But it was like, you know, normally with, you know, you get the occasional comment will come up in disgust saying like, yeah, great review, man. I'm going to go and buy the game. This one was completely different. And I'm pretty sure that I've found some Tales
kind of Symphonia site. Chronicles.
Was that the one?
You gave it a 7. Awful score.
No, there must be another one. There was another one that I gave a poor review to, and it wasn't a great entry in the series, but there was like real, you know, on their fan site and everything. They were cursing
I found it. Tales of Xillia, 6 out of 10.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The nerve.
2013, August the 6th. Sure.
I think there was a follow up to that one. I think it was like Tales of Xillia 2. I think. Wow. But yeah, I know, like some of the Tales games are what they are, and like it's definitely kind of like this one is following a lot of the same footsteps, which is, for me, I'm all for. I just think the combat here is definitely, from this demo, already its best, I feel. Right. Yeah. Even though it is very just like, whoa, there's so much happening. It's very smooth. It was running really well. I can't wait to just kind of get more into that in the full game. And the demo was rather interesting because, like, Chris, maybe you can confirm this. I think you said a while ago. Is there six main characters?
There's six. I get the feeling there's eight in the game, I want to say, just because there looks like there's two extra slots, isn't there, the LC thing. But you can control six. You can choose to have any one of them as your main character in the demo.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because, like, you pick one in the demo and it says, like, oh, here you go, you can pick this character and it'll be a different cutscene at the end. So, like, the demo kind of gives you a bit of replayability, which is rather interesting because the whole area, they just throw you into this massive battle area, really, this huge field, and you take on a big boss and stuff. So it's a good slice of what to expect if it's going to be your first Tales game, I guess, you know. But It's going to be. I don't think it's going to really drag like someone like you, Ed, in and be like, "Fuck, I should have jumped on Tales long ago," you know. But I think you will enjoy it.
Like, genuinely, like, I don't dislike the series. I can't really describe it. There's just something that I've never sort of connected with them.
Oh my God.
In a proper way.
You know.
Yeah. Either way, it got me very excited for the game. I went into that demo knowing that I was going to enjoy the hell out of it. Jesus, when is it next? Is it today?
The demo.
No, it's not.
It's a way off, I think a few weeks at least. So,
give me plenty of time to construct that scathing 6 out of 10 fucking review. Come on, bring on, nerds. Again.
Yeah,
bring it on, RPG nerds. I'm ready for you.
Well, in that respect, Sean, why don't you talk to us about what you've been playing? I know you reviewed it a little while ago, but I think Adam would like to hear all about Greek.
Now, when I had a look at this to begin with, I thought, God, this looks right up my alley. You know, it's a Metroidvania. It had a little bit of Limbo about the way it looked. It was all sparkly and shimmery. I like anything that's in like a forest with all sparkly fairy shit going on.
The forest.
And it, yeah, I just, you know, I'm feeling affinity to the forest, you know. And, you know, it looked really nice with the cutscenes, the introduction.
It does look nice.
Kind of, you know, it looks great. And I thought, oh, here we go. And then it became the case that a few hours in, I couldn't wait to finish playing it enough so that I could turn in a review and then not play it again. And I'm glad now that I never have to play this game again, because it's just an absolute disappointment. for something that looks so beautiful, you know, it's like having, you know, something that, you know, imagine if you were, you know, bought a car that looked absolutely incredible, and then you get in it and it drives like a fucking Nissan Sunny, you know, it's like that. And it's I'm old enough to remember driving things like that. Do you know what I mean? My nan had one. I've just got a beer on the go as well. My nipper's just brought me a beer up. So I've got a Menabrea, which is a really nice Italian lager. So
not sponsored, cheers. Just so you know.
I want to know is what made this game turn into a wet fart? Is it because of its like repetitive nature? Is the story flat? Is the gameplay just repetitive? What's going on? Because this game looks tasty, as we've just said.
It does. So the story is pretty much, you know, par for the course. The world shrouded by pestilence. Everyone's dying. The hero needs to rise, or four heroes in this case. And so it's pretty cookie cutter stuff. I can handle that. I'm not bothered about a plot on a game like this, really. It doesn't bother me. What I want is good combat, fluid movement, a good selection of weapons, you know, so basically a bit of imagination and an atmosphere. So you get that with something like Metroid, Super Metroid, or, you know, Metroid Fusion, or Castlevania games, or even that Bloodstain that came out the other year, you know, ticked all those boxes. The combat on this is just dull. It's just swiping a sword or firing a crossbow, or like one of the people that you can switch control to has got a projectile, but it's really crap. It's there's cases where the enemies are really dull as well. They just repeat and respawn. There are enemies that you can defeat by, I think I put in a review, just by standing on top of their hitbox so that they can't hit you, and then you just hammer the button, and it's just so dull. There's nothing that makes you want to continue playing. There's nothing. The enemies are so piss poor, you know, no imagination whatsoever. And then you get to the first boss, which takes a huge amount of punishment to kill, but it's just like a big suit of armor walking around. And it's like, oh, come on, you know, we've seen this before. The explorations, you know, I like things to be a bit non-linear and, you know, a bit of exploration going on, but the map's shit. You get lost really easily, really quickly. There's, you know, it's just,
I found I never understood how it wanted me to play it, and I appreciate that's a weird thing to say, but like in this game, if you're looking at the video version now, you can see in the bottom left the D-pad. At this point, you've only got the one person, which is Greek. You then get your sister, and you can control them both. But it's not like, say, do you remember that game of Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons? It's not like that where you control them at the same time. So you'll see it now. They're independently controlled by, you can either hold down a button and pull them to you, or you can switch between them with the D-pad and control them and then switch back to the other one. So I was never on, I couldn't work out if it wanted me to take them all with me all the time and be frustrated by that, because I found that in boss battles that just made it like near enough impossible, or if it wanted me to, say, leave one of them at the village, go off and do something, because then when you do that, you'll come to a puzzle that needs two people, so you're like, oh, now I have to get that other person, switch back to them at the village, and walk all the way through everything I've just done already. And
the other thing, it introduces, in the village hub at the start, it introduces like the cooking pot straight away.
Yes.
As like one of the first things you encounter. Yes. And it's like, bloody hell, this should be like a side hustle to the game. And this is like the first fucking thing that you're introducing. It's like, yeah. I don't want to create recipes. You know, I have enough problems coming up with recipes at home to cook for my family. I want to be taken away from reality when I'm playing a game, and now all of a sudden I'm out collecting mushrooms to make a fucking stew.
But so you've got, but even then you can't.
Stew sounds good.
Yeah, it probably is good, but you can't. Like you can only hold three mushrooms per inventory slot.
So then
you go back and you've got three in one of your slots, and then you've got one in another one of the slots. So you've just got a slot that you can do nothing with until you find two more mushrooms or drop it. And in this game, like the quest items, like there's a guy who'll give you a key and this thing you have to use to get a thing. So two quest items, like key items, they would be in any RPG. They take up two of your inventory slots.
Mm. And you can't, you know, it's not like in Zelda, for any Zelda game ever, if you get a key item, like, it goes in a separate part of your inventory, doesn't it? Even in bloody Resident Evil, when you had that kind of grid that you can...
It sounds like the worst parts of the original Resident Evil, where, like, okay, have I got to take this item from the box to go and do, you know, that puzzle kind of thing?
That was exactly what I was thinking. When I was driving home tonight, I was thinking, how am I going to look like I know what I talk about on this podcast? And I thought of that. You know, that was the thing that came to my head, the Resident Evil. That's exactly what it's like. But it's just, you know, I don't want to... I hate giving any independent studio a kick in for their game. You know, they're like a Hispanic collective of people from Mexico. There's designers from Argentina. They're clearly really proud of what they've done. It looks fucking great. You know, it really does look good. Yeah. And the music's fantastic.
Barbie's is great, yeah.
You know, and with a little bit more thought, you know, these guys must have played good games, you know, and they must have been influenced by good games of this genre. And the way that they've designed it is just all to cop.
This is the thing for me, is I feel like I find it more frustrating than disappointing, because I feel like it's close. There's just tweaks that need to be done that don't seem like they would be that significant. Like, just almost in the code, changing it so that, like, inventory equals, you know, 20 or something, so you can hold 20 mushrooms in one slot. Silly little things like that. But I also feel like what they've tried to do is make a co-op game that isn't co-op. It falls apart for me, because there was one boss battle where I just parked one of the characters off to the side, because like if you've got two of them in the arena, you can be playing as one and hitting the boss, but then the boss will go over and start hitting the other one. You have to switch with the D-pad to them, and it just gets too busy. And it was like, it's easier for me if I just park you up here out of harm's way and just play this as a single player 1v1 experience, and then I managed to beat that boss, and it was like, doesn't feel intended.
You can do, you know, you can do a game where you control more than one character. Mm. You know, Lost Vikings did it bloody years ago. I remember buying that when I was a little kid.
It's a game and a half, place.
Even the Mario and Luigi games, you know, there was some of them where you control both characters at the same time in a kind of action RPG setting, but that works. You know, it's really just so disappointing.
Yeah.
And I really wanted this to be a kind of super deformed, you know, Castlevania with a bit of oomph to it. But in reality, you know, what is it? 6 out of 10. That's like my, that's, you know, 6 out of 10. That's how I, I'll give you a mauling with a 6 right to the dome.
Well, moving on then to another game that I have wanted to play for ages and still haven't got round to, and it's now out on Xbox, on everywhere, and especially on Switch, which is where, Sean, you've been playing Art of Rally.
This is another real disappointment for me. So I've been admiring this one for a while. You know, I've had my eye on it, and it's only been out on Steam, and I don't have the capable hardware at home to play it. I mean, my nipper probably does. He's got a gaming PC, but I don't want to go dragging him out of his room to do all that. So it's finally come to the Switch. And the developer have fucked up massively to begin with by putting screenshots and videos on the Nintendo eShop of the PC version of the game. So I'm not naive enough to think that a Switch is going to be able to perform this game to the level of a PC, but you know, that's still a bit naughty. And of course, you've had all the people on Reddit and on the internet, you know, spiteful people get over things like this, and it's like, I'm demanding my money back. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should issue an apology. And the developers have been really quite nice about it. They've apologized, and of course the Redditors have all said, well, that's not good enough. You know, you've committed to cardinal sin. And for me, it reminded me of the old days when I had like a Commodore 64, and you get a game that the screenshots on the back of the box would make it look like, whoa, this is amazing. And then it's completely inferior to the Amiga version that was on the screenshots or whatever it was. And so in a nutshell, this is really, it's a fine, fine game that's a real labour of love to rally driving and rally cars. And it's not a simulation, but it's a kind of isometric driving game that takes you through these kind of really indie-fied approximations.
I should say as well, anyone who's watching the video version, this is the PC version footage you're looking at, not the search.
No,
because you're probably hang on, this looks just like, no, that is the PC version. The footage is taken from our original PC version review.
I suspect there's already a thread on Reddit. Sean Smith's trying to rip us off again.
Yeah, but so. I just don't get like the thing. One of the things about this game is that when you do look at it, you're like, that looks like fun, and it looks different. Like it's got that. It's got a real indie vibe to it. The sort of voxely thing. Like, but it doesn't look like particularly. It's not like you're trying to run The Last of Us Part Two on a Switch. You know?
That's it. Like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense that it has this problem on Switch. And it is super disappointing to hear, because I was, same as you, Sean, I had my eye on this, you know, and I was kind of going, cool, I'm so excited for this to come out. And then all that stuff got released, and I was like, oh, what? And it's,
yeah. I mean, honestly,
like, looking at this PC version, this looks like it should be on Switch, like, you know?
It honestly looks like, even if you just had to turn some of the lighting effects off, perhaps, or shadows.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the shadows are the main issue for me.
Really?
So I noticed it straight away. So I had my Switch on at work. There's YouTube comparison videos if you want to be that much of a tool and look at it. But I had my Switch at work, and I was watching a video and the pop-in is unreal. So you'll be driving and all of a sudden the trees will just start looming into view. Now, I could have accepted that wouldn't have been quite as bad, but because the shadows pop in as well, and all of the trees and all the obstacles have got shadows, and there's just loads of shadows in this game anyway, it just makes it really distracting. And it's a bit jerky as well. It's not, you know, the frame rate's not all that. Fundamentally, though, it's not a bad game. It still plays really nice. The soundtrack's fucking phenomenal. It's got all the DLC for, there's an Africa, like Kenya stage, which looks really nice. It's a nice night driving section that combines the limited visibility of driving at night with the limited visibility of the pop-in and the shadows that completely murk you. But, you know, it's still, underneath it all, it's still a really good game. It's fun to play. The cars are great. You know, for someone that, you know, I'm not a fan of rally driving, don't get me twisted on that, but I do know about rally cars and like the iconography of the cars. I know my Lancias, my, you know, Toyota Supras, and, you know, through Sega Rally and stuff like that. And it's got these really cool kind of super deformed versions of all these cars. And although it hasn't got the actual names, it's got like the blurb for each one, like the little bit of history in it. So it's so cool. Mm. And I think I mentioned in the review, it kind of reminds me a lot of the way that in, you know, something like Fire Pro Wrestling, you can see the wrestlers that you love, but they're not allowed to call them by their real name. So you're like, that's Hulk Hogan, that's Kenny Omega or whatever. And these cars are a work of art, you know, hence the title. It is a very arty experience. It's something that I should imagine, you know, the patch isn't going to, they're talking about a patch, by the way, the developer. They're like, we're going to patch it. Nothing as of today. I've been checking every day, and there's been nothing released so far. But I can't see, you know, short of completely reprogramming it to include more obstacles and wallop out this pop-in, if the frame rate's already shit without, you know, with a lot of the scenery, like all the grass is gone, so it's rather than kind of lush, thick greenery, you've just got flat green turf, loads of the trees are missing, you know, the crowd are missing, and the crowd are like little pixel ladies, look about that big.
I think you expect that from certain Switch games. Like if you play Doom Eternal on Switch, you would expect the lower frame rate, the worst textures. You would expect all of that. I just look at this game and it looks great, and I wouldn't expect that outcome with a Switch port of it. Like I just wouldn't.
And that's the thing. If we're after getting, like as you said, Doom Eternal, Witcher 3, Skyrim, these kind of games, like these kind of games that have existed, there's no way, like this should be the case for
If
Nintendo can squeeze Breath of the Wild out of that console, and that was a fucking launch game, it was also on the Wii U, if they can do that, then but then it depends on the development platform. Adam, you were saying it's programmed on something that the Switch doesn't like,
apparently. It was Mikhail, former news editor on the site, who said this, that it was in an engine that the Switch isn't great with. But like it's just a shame, because it's, you know, we've always joked about that kind of perfect for Switch thing, but this game feels, you know, do you know the thing it reminds me of? I can't think what the bloody game it was. There was a PS Vita game, one of the MotorStorm ones. It was like, it was like RC cars. Was it?
Yeah,
like that.
I remember that.
That was amazing. That game. Yeah, and this is kind of what I wanted. That style of, no, I can't think what it's called, but it wasn't called up.
No, I know what you mean. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. No, see, when I first saw this game, the first thing that, I mean, I'm more old school than the first thing that came into my mind was Neo Drift Out.
It was, by the way, called MotorStorm RC. That's
there you go. Yeah, I remember that. That was a fantastic game. Yeah. But the first thing that I thought was, wow, you know, Neo Drift Out, one of the best sort of isometric arcade racers. This isn't an arcade racer. It's got more.
Oh, really?
It has got more of a simulation vibe to it. You know, the cars handle like rally cars, and there's drifting, there's nuances to it. So it's not like a Micro Machines or a MotorStorm RC or, you know, a Neo Drift Out. It's got a lot of nuance to it, and it's quite difficult to master it. And very satisfying when you do, but it's just not great on the Switch, to be honest. It's so much more expensive as well. The Steam version's like really cheap, and on the Switch it's like £30 or something stupid. If you've got the ability to play it on Steam, then do it, man, because it's just not worth it on the Switch.
Yeah,
even the fact that you can take it and play it on the move, it's not worth it for that kind of shit performance, unfortunately. And I'll eat my words if they come back with a patch and completely smash it, and it's all really up to scratch. But I can't see, you know, if they've released it in this state, they're going to really struggle to get a tune out of the Switch, I think, you know?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay, well, on that note, Mr. Carroll, I believe you have some news. No?
Oh, Jesus, you made it sound way bigger than it actually is.
I'm excited about this.
Going to announce the sex of his child or something.
I've actually started Scarlet Nexus.
And hurrah!
It is a
game. Well done.
Hurrah! It's been sitting there for quite some time. And I'm a couple of hours into it. And early impressions so far are, I'm really into it, obviously. It's right up my street. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of mechanics happening. Story-wise, it's a bit like, cool. Do you know what? I think this might have been said, this is just like, so far, like Astral Chain. This is what this game pretty much is, in a nutshell. And like, I absolutely loved Astral Chain. So, like, what blows my mind in these types of games are like how they manage to keep combat still kind of unique for its own thing. Do you know what I mean? And Scarlet does that. I think like the the whole pulling things around the environment and throwing them and all that kind of stuff, it just feels brilliant. It runs really well. The combos, building all that stuff up is all excellent. Mm-hmm. It's super anime, like wowzers. It is super anime, and there's a lot of cutscenes, and you're kind of like, or the first like hour or so, I was kind of like, can I just play the game?
It's very story heavy in those first few hours. I think I remember saying it to you. Like, if you get through that, you'll be like, yes. So you just gotta it gets the balance, it balances itself much better after those first few hours. So
Do I think all the systems work in the game? And yes and no. I feel like they do this weird thing with the lock-on system where it's like most games we all had were just like you lock on, like you click in like R3 or something, and then you can just like swipe left or right with the analog and it'll go to each enemy. For this, you have to like hold down a bumper and then do it. And it's small things like that, along with all the other systems that are going on, that I'm a bit like, whoa, I don't know if I'm really like demolishing the enemy here and stuff. It's quite funny considering like playing it alongside the Tales of Arise demo. Do you know?
It's kind very of like, similar. But I had a lot of... when I was playing the Tales of Arise demo, I kept thinking of Scarlet Nexus. So I imagine you literally playing it the same time must be really interesting because you're like...
Yeah.
They do really skits in the same way. The combat's quite similar in some of the ways they do it. And, you know, the... Using like skills and stuff.
So what platform are you playing this on?
PS5.
It's on everything though. It's on Xbox.
It's on everything. PS4.
It's just not Switch, I think.
Yeah, but it does that whole thing as well, where like it adds in those features of, you know, Persona does it, where you're kind of texting.
Yeah. The
your buddies and stuff, and you just press X to respond or whatever, like reply. I like all those kind of features, and the characters are pretty strong. But like Jesus, that combat is when you really do get your head around it, it feels unreal, like absolutely unreal. And like,
how does it rank in the pantheon of, you know, these types of games? I mean, you'd look at, you know, obviously you mentioned Astral Chain, Devil May Cry is another one reference point, obviously Bayonetta. How's it stack against them?
Oh, it's pretty much there, like, as well. Like, you know, that's what I was saying, in the sense of like, it's just quite amazing that they nail it. They just nail it. Because if the combat was average, let's say, you wouldn't really go near it. Because it's not that the story is poor by any means. It's just kind of like, it's not what's drawing you in. It is super anime, which is nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it just is like you're trying to get around these like over-the-top kind of characters. And it's all presented in this kind of like energetic way, and you're kind of in or you're not, and it's like, I'm like, all right, cool, but it's when you get the feel of it. Astral Chain did the same thing. Like, it's until you get that flow of the combat down that you're kind of going, oh, this game is just quality, and you know what you're doing, and you get the lay of the land down of what the collectibles are, and you can see all these items on your mini map as well. Like, just you run up and collect them, and it's quite satisfying. I find those kind of things satisfying, and I did get quite lost, weirdly, in the early stages of the game, navigating through the area. I don't know if you lads felt that way, but I was kind of like, where am I going? Oh, there's a stairs going up that direction. Do you know, it's kind of strange anyway, the first early on areas. But this game is definitely, I'm seeing it through to the end. And like I imagine... I can just imagine like 20 hours in what you're getting up to with, like, because you've all the skill trees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just like, it stands for, you know, there's just three things to pick from to upgrade, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm still understanding every part of the game. Like, you know, like, I feel like using, like, because they even brought, like, when I was using the R2 thing, which was like dragging in an item to then just land it down on an enemy, whatever. It then introduced this whole thing of like, now press L2. And then, like, you know, it does this thing where it's like a mini game. You put both analogs together and it slams down. Like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like, what's going on? But all of it's great. It's all cool to watch and it's executed super well. But I can imagine it's going to get like mental.
It does, but the pacing's very good in the sense that it doesn't just throw six more things at you all at once. Like you'll gradually get more things, and it'll be one of those games you go back and play again when you finished it and you've got all the things. You'll be like, oh, I can't do that yet. You know, you'll be wanting to do it. You never feel like overwhelmed. You felt most overwhelmed at the very start because it literally goes, here's a tutorial with 27 things you need to remember. But then after that, it's just like a few every now and then, and it all builds and it's all compliments. It's really well done. So yeah, you'll be flying about the place doing loads of stuff.
Yeah, I'm keen to see how, like, you know, similar to like some like Nier and things like that, where like you can choose your character. Like you do the same with this, you pick either, I can't remember their names now, to be honest, but like the male or the female character, and they give you a little backstory on both, and they both sound pretty cool. Like I like the girl has like a sister that she's like, it's like her everything. Mm-hmm. And then like the dude is just like an all around nice guy.
Yeah. I was just standard anime all around nice guy. Yeah.
All around nice guy. And I was like, I go with you this time. Usually I go for the like female character, but I'm interested to see how it'll kind of like,
want to buy it, if I'm going to put it that way. It sounds right up my street.
I've not played the second story, but from what I've seen, they are different. They're very different stories that intersect in very clever ways. Like, you would have a different experience of playing the different character, if that makes sense. Like, story beats that would be different enough. It's not just like, this character does the same thing in the same order as the other character. It's not that at all.
Yeah, yeah. This game, I feel it's a real shame. In ways that I think that like a lot of people will pass on it. I don't think it's going to be like played by many people that I know anyway personally. And I think it's very cheap to buy. I think it's going for like, I know here anyway, you can get it for like €35 physical copies and stuff like that, which is like kind of like mad really, and it's totally worth like any kind of blind buy for that price, especially if you do like something like DMC or Astral Chain, like, and the Bayonettas and stuff like that. It's a really, really cool game, and I definitely can't wait to play more, but like I need to finish this before Rise comes around.
Oh, no,
fried from all the mechanics, you
too
know,
many but, JRPGs as well, isn't it then?
Jesus.
Ain't as bad as me. I had Astral Chain in my pile of shame for 2 years. 2 whole years I had that game before I played it. And I've only just recently got around and you know, I love these sort of games. I love Devil May Cry. Mm. My favourite, I know this is, it's not the most perfect example, but Transformers Devastation is my jam. I love that game so much. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Stay with Astral, man. Astral is personally one of the best Switch games, in my opinion. I think it's astonishing. It just gets so good. Like the more you get, a couple of hours into it, you're just like, oh, the combat just feels ridiculous because it's so daunting at first, knowing that you're controlling that kind of thing and wrapping it around the enemies and stuff, but it just becomes second nature and it's incredible. Just want to say in the comments there, Philip Tindall has said that Scarlet Nexus is currently on sale on both Xbox and PSN. So
there you go.
I don't know if people have like everything, anyone that plays
people
games
were like you last week, you mean?
Yeah.
Just you know, Mr. High and Mighty.
Mr. got the game for free but couldn't be asked to play it.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear the excuse.
Actually, hang on. Mr. got the game free early and didn't play it, I think, right?
Something happened. Something was out.
Blame it on COVID like everything else.
COVID. That was it. I didn't get COVID, by the way, in case you think that. People be
it's all right if you did. They're like, not going to, like, shun you
but
or
like,
something.
You know, people might be worried, Ed. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you're there on camera looking very healthy, I add.
But Scarlet Nexus came out a bit better. Look, any fucking way, right?
Play Scarlet Nexus.
It's a great game. Yeah, it's a great game so far.
So far. Okay, well, let's move on to some listener correspondence then. If you're in the live chat, this is your sort of 5-minute warning to drop any burning questions there. Otherwise, GTA and Steve on Discord. This is a tough question to start with, right? What's the best franchised Lego game of all time? And what would be a franchise you'd like to see adapted into a game? Now, I can answer the first one, like, straight away, because for me it was the Harry Potter ones. I felt they fit the Lego games style so well.
So I have bad memories of the Harry Potter ones because me and my wife played them together.
Oh, really? And
she just literally, I don't watch Harry Potter, so I don't know the name of the spell. She'd be able to tell, but she used to do the thing that used to just obliterate me or levitate me all the fucking time. So I couldn't actually play the game because she was just pissing about and I'm just floating about like a nomad.
In real life.
His
wife's a 16th century witch.
Yeah,
she's got the ability to levitate him.
So I just remember that, you know, I'm trying to play the bloody game and she's just pissing about, flirting me about, you know. And you know what I'm like, trying to collect all the flipping bits.
I don't think this is the time or the place for it. I think you have a problem with that.
Of course I do. I know that.
No, with his, like... So I'm with him to a degree. Like, you know, I do like to look for collectibles and stuff, right? I can't really say much because the game I want to mention is... the reason I've had nothing this week is because I'm under about a million embargoes. But the game... I can't really even say. But I just think Chris Hyde has got a bit of a... I've got a massive problem. I thought we were kindred spirits, but actually feel like I need to start like intervening because you... You're not right, Chris, is what I'm trying to say.
I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss anything.
But there are some games where it's like,
a game.
Oh, but that's just...
Yeah, but I feel a Lego game is a different situation. Like, you can't go around picking up every goddamn Lego piece. There's too many.
So
in the Harry Potter ones or all of them, like, where it's like, you got to get all four bits of the shield and crap like that. I'm like, well, we need to go back. She's like, can we just play the story? No, we need to go back.
What I'm getting from this is that Adam is on your wife's side.
I imagine so. Imagine everybody playing with me would just piss me off and levitate me if we were playing.
No. I'm with you on what you're saying. It's just that, like, the Lego games become a thing where you're like, oh yeah, this feels great, and that sound every time when you're picking them up is all really nice and satisfying to the ears, but then it gets to a stage you're like, fuck, you're like, this is just there's so much of this. But hang on,
what's the answer to the question though?
That's so my answer is Lego City Undercover.
Okay.
Oh, great one. That is
I thought
so
that
funny.
Game is great. So yeah,
that's so funny.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, you stole my thunder though, I was gonna say that. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that's a great game.
Indiana Jones is my other one that I've Mm-hmm.
Mine's Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Another good one. They're all pretty good.
All right. So hang on then. So what would be the franchise you'd want to see adapted that hasn't been yet then? Do you remember?
As Lego.
Man's good
well,
too,
no,
though.
I think as a Lego game.
Mm. Game of Thrones? It has to be something with
a
story,
just
right?
Lord of the Rings?
Probably, but that's... I'm struggling to think of like a story because all the Marvel stuff probably would have been done.
Game of Thrones is a great shout because I'd love to see how they get around all the stuff that would not be in a
the booby stuff or the knifey stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How they make that show.
The whole thing. Just try and make that PG.
I'm not sure you can.
I'd like to see Lego have a crack at doing one of those really bleak Scandinavian crime procedurals. That'd be good. You know, to see how they turn that into Lego blocks. answer. You know.
No, it's an honest answer, and I don't even know if it's worth asking Adam what he
Lego
liked to...
True Detective.
Yeah, no. I mean,
I actually would definitely play that. Like, I'd like them to go on more of the adult route, all right?
Well, could, I'm not sure what you mean by that. Do you mean, like, are you talking about pornography?
Come on.
You mean like Lego Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball or something?
Lego Leisure Suit Larry.
Just straight up Lego Brazzers. End of.
Oh, God. Okay, moving on. Steve says as well, he has a second question. He says, I really want to reset the achievements or trophies of the EA Skate games and do them all over again just for that tiny dopamine hit. Do you have any game or games that you'd like to do the achievements for all over again? Now, if I can get permission from Steve, I'd like to bend this question slightly because achievements aren't the thing for me anymore. But I feel like the question is, it's almost like if you could wipe your memory of a game, what would you...
Street Fighter 4, straight away. Oh. Street Fighter 4. I want to go back to the first time I played that one and relive it all over again without the amount of cocaine I was using at the time. And the terrible predicament that it got me into.
Is that why you were always beating me online?
Yeah, I mean, that was like my peak years of
abuse.
Being a druggy mess, basically. I spent the whole year of my life in the flat in Middenbury and Southampton doing nothing but drugs and Street Fighter and watching the TV series Oz and Homicide: Life on the Street. Straight up. You know, I can't remember.
Sounds like Trainspotting.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. And I don't remember a lot of even how I managed to function and do my job.
Most nights I won the matches, Sean. That's the most important thing to remember.
I do remember the Street Fighter.
No, you don't.
But mate, you know I whipped that ass. So
yeah,
many
no,
times.
You're better than me at Street Fighter.
And I was good. I was good at FIFA back then as well. But that was when I enjoyed those games more. But I'd love to go back and reset it. And
who knew that you needed drugs to enjoy FIFA?
But yeah, Street Fighter 4, that's my answer. It's still my favourite game of all time. I think
Adam Carroll should go next because I think he's going to say one I would say. So go for it. If you could wipe your mind,
I don't think I will.
Oh really?
If okay, I could erase my mind of the trouble, I'm going to say Shadow of Mordor.
Okay, that's the end of the podcast. That's the one game that you pull that you're like, if I could just.
It's the one game that like I was just
Shadow
so
of Mordor,
unbelie-
not Shadow of War. The original.
Yeah, Mordor's the first one, isn't it?
Oh shit, War! Jesus, I can't even get it right. Shadow of War. Sorry, yes.
So good.
We have to accept your first answer. Yeah. So you're actually your memory will be wiped.
No Shadow.
I've got a Men in Black.
Yeah, so you'll have memories of Shadow of War, but not the original.
So look, it was that one. Up. I didn't get into the first one. I only got into the second one, but I just really loved it. I really loved the trophies in it, and I thought it was really good. It's just a great game. That or Dying Light. That was it. Dying Light was also great because I had a great time doing that with friends.
Okay.
So,
Mr. Hyde.
So when I was looking at this question without bending it, I was going to say Skyrim, and it could probably still answer your question as well of blitzing my memory and playing it through again. Like I've got the platinum twice on PS3 and PS4 for that one, so probably that one. Probably go for it again. So yeah, Skyrim.
I don't think I could answer this without it being I don't think it would be a game. I don't think there is a game that's like got achievements or trophies that I'd be like, oh, I wish I could play that. You know, what? I think for me it would be Mario Odyssey, because like when what?
That's fucking. There's no trophies there.
I just said that.
Yeah.
But that's if we're talking that way, then Breath of the Wild.
Well, I mean, is Odyssey better than Breath of the Wild?
That's what I thought you were going to say, Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, but you're making up your own rules, this. The question was, which ones we want to raise? I got no trophies in Breath of the Wild.
Fine. I'll answer the other fucking question. Avatar, The Last Airbender, which I rented and booted up. You hit B over and over again for less than 60 seconds and you get 1,000 gamer score. Done. Move on to the next question.
So angry.
You're a terrible human.
Yep. Yeah. King Kong.
Oh, shock horror. McPoo says, now that Kiryu Kazuma is coming to Super Monkey Ball, what other video game would you like to see him cameo in? And he gives us a few options here. Animal Crossing, perhaps. Final Fantasy VII Remake. FIFA 22. he did say that you got the name around the wrong way, and he has. It's Kazuma Kiryu. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about. The
actor. Yeah.
What game would you like to see him cameo in? No, Ad's got one. Hang on, Ad. Sorry, Chris, but Adam was right there. He was like, I've got one. Breath of the Wild.
Death Stranding, the director's cut.
Oh, fuck you, Ad.
What's wrong? It would be so good meeting him just out in the middle of nowhere, just doing
just
his thing.
Have him as the protagonist.
Oh, imagine it. It'd be game of the year every year.
But you're glad you asked him, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, cool, Chris.
So I was going to say...
You ruined a perfectly good podcast with that. You realise that?
I didn't. I made it better.
I was going to say Back for Blood. And the reason, like, because obviously you can pick up, like, melee weapons in that, can't you? and just twat zombies around the face with baseball bats with nails in them. So I was like, well, that bit kind of feels kind of in keeping anyway. So might as well be him doing it. He's one for picking up shopping trolleys and shit and twatting people with them. So why not? Why not that and a few guns? So
I was going to say Streets of Rage, but I think he did. I think when Sega did that thing of where here's the, you know, the anniversary thing, I think they did a Yakuza Streets of Rage crossover thing where it was like a
that would playable. Be good, yeah.
No, they've done it. I think they have done it. It was like a playable level where you played as. I don't know if Kazuma was in there. Kiryu was in there. I know the other chap he is. Huh. But that would be. I mean, Street Fighter. Put him in Street Fighter. Smash Brothers. Yeah. Put him in Smash Brothers and I'll get Smash Brothers.
The last DLC.
Yeah. Oh, he could be. Could imagine that. Imagine that. Mm.
That would be amazing.
Imagine if I called that right here, that the next Smash Bros. Character was... Sean, do you care at all about Kazuma?
Not at all, no. I've never played any of the games. I've got zero to bring to this discussion. I'm not going to pretend that I have. Moving on.
Well, that's kind of the end of the podcast, actually. So it's been a pleasure. I will... Adam, you said... Do you want to do the pimping of the
I think you explain it.
But I
and
can't
we'll back
make,
you off.
I've forgotten the URL.
You're wearing the gear.
Yeah, but I thought that if I did that bit, you would do the rest.
Yeah, but I don't know the link offhand. No, come on.
No, but I thought you did because you kind of sort of suggested as much at the start of it all.
We have loads of merch.
Hang on, I'll try and find it.
I've got it. I'm joking. I'm joking.
Okay,
so,
good.
So, hang on, Adam. If you can vamp for a minute, I'm going to go get something. Adam, so talk to them about the merch. Do the pitch.
Yeah.
We have. Marketing. Everything you can think of, except Cat's Pajamas, apparently, which was requested, which I think should definitely happen. We have t-shirts, hoodies, jackets,
pillows.
There's a pillow. Mugs, dog scarves,
yeah, bags. Everything you could want in various shapes and sizes and colours.
They fit me.
If I was ever going to be, you know, if I was ever going to be smothered by a pillow, I want it to be a God as a Geek one. And I just put it over my face until I expel my last breath into that great piece of merch.
And mate, if you're lucky, if you play your cards right, I'll throw in a mug. Well, you can get all that merch. It's currently on sale 15% off, and that is shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/godisageek. But if you just go to godisageek.com, you should be able to see there's a link on the literally on the front page there, so you can't miss it. But yeah, there's bags, there's mugs, there's hats, all sort of like this was actually like one of the prototype hats. And again, this is not good if you're not watching. This is the trucker hat with the kind of open the I don't know what you call this.
Does it come with a truck?
No.
Yeah, that's known in the trade, Adam, as a mesh trucker cap.
Yes. Whereas I prefer the ones that have got like all the way round. And I know you like snapback.
Fitted cap, yeah. I prefer a snapback.
Mm-hmm. I like these style.
I don't mind a trucker cap, but I would generally wear them. If I wear one of them, I'll wear it backwards.
But lads, you'd wear a God as a Geek trucker cap. Let's not lie.
I did. I literally was wearing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but go to spreadshirt.co.uk/God as a Geek. And you can find all the merch there. It's one of those things where we get a cut of it, not all of it. So, you know, we really appreciate it.
My dog
has entered the chat. I will say, like, I wanted to get hold of some myself before we made it public because the hat's fine, the mug is, you know, it's a mug. The pillow's good, and the shirt surprisingly comfortable. I thought it wouldn't be, and it is. So you can do that, and you can also find out more about us on patreon.com/godisageek. If you just want to watch the YouTube videos, that's cool. Make sure you subscribe though, and if you don't do it. Do hit the bell button. That's really, really helpful. Makes us more visible to other people as well. Otherwise, all that really remains to be said is thank you to Adam, Chris, and Sean. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, sir.
And
thank you
to everybody else. We'll see you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye for now.